You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
We're back in Nashville, SEC Tournament, one game in, and that was a big win for Mississippi State over LSU. May have punched the ticket, may not have, but who knows, with the NCAA Tournament. I guess it was 7 or 8 weeks ago, Kyle Tucker from The Athletic, we were getting calls from Kentucky fans saying, they're going to be playing on Thursday in the SEC tournament and maybe endangering themselves of getting even in the big dance.
Yep.
It seems like we've seen these turnarounds before, but take us through what happened to this Kentucky team, why they look so bad, and now they're looking like one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's sort of back to the future for Cal this year. He tried a couple years with the older guys and transfers, and this was an all-important year for him, and he kind of went all in on the old school formula for him, which is sign a bunch of great freshmen, lean into being young, and that's a bold choice this year because this is, you know, as old as college basketball has ever been across the board. And then it has followed sort of a similar script to a lot of those early years for him where the freshmen struggled, but you could see the talent, and then put it together late. And really, they're an LSU tip-in at the buzzer away from having won the SEC championship Saturday in Knoxville. You know, be in position to win eight straight and come to this thing and say, are they a one or a two seed?
Yeah, I mean, every year is a little different. I feel like we've seen variations of this, and then it doesn't quite hold up deeper in March. It's hard not to believe in this team, though, isn't it?
It's as hard not to believe in them as it is to believe in them, right? Because, one, because of the more recent history. I mean, right. Calipari has not gotten it done in March. I mean, they lose as a two seed to a 15 a couple years ago. They lose in the second round last year. 3 years ago was the disastrous year, the kind of the COVID year. You know, they haven't won this tournament since 2018, which is hard to believe after kind of dominating it for years. And then more specifically to this year, it's hard to believe in them sometimes because they've been on this roller coaster ride. I mean, they have been the most volatile team in the country. They have one of the best offenses, I think arguably the best offense in America. And then one of the worst defenses at times. And so, you know, they've let big leads slip away. I mean, in Knoxville on Saturday, they're comfortably ahead the whole game.
Yeah.
And then Tennessee's got a shot in the air with, you know, 10 seconds to go to tie it. And so the way they score makes them absolutely sort of exhilarating. And I think it's hard not to be a little bit intoxicated by the way they play. It's a beautiful style of basketball. And I would say, as we're talking about Calipari in the big picture, a lot of credit to him for making a change very late in his career. This is a different way to play. I mean, he's been a guy who's resisted the three-point revolution, and he now has the best three-point shooting team in the country. You know, he's got a guy like Rob Dillingham that in the past he would want to micromanage, and he lets him cook a little bit. And so I think he gets credit for that. But then now we have reached the you know, prove it stage for him. What are they going to do this weekend? But more importantly, what are they going to do in the tournament that starts next
week? Yeah, and I don't want to look past the SEC, but Kentucky's one of those teams that can now look past a little bit, and you don't know what you're going to get Sunday afternoon. But what I know what I like about this team. We've seen it the last 5 weeks. What would concern you, depending on the matchup in the tournament?
I think you wouldn't want to see Purdue and Zach Edey. Right. I mean, you don't want to see a dominant seven-footer because it's so interesting because they actually have at their disposal three really good seven, or really talented, I should say, seven-footers, but they're all flawed in some way, you know. And Yenso is a really good defender at the rim, but maybe not out in space, and he's not an offensive threat. And, you know, you've got Big Z, who was sort of a sensation this year, who's a really compelling offensive, gifted offensive seven-footer, who is pretty shaky defensively, and then Aaron Bradshaw that's been kind of up and down. And so I think if you face a team that's got a great, you know, presence inside, it could hurt you. I think if you face a team that really pressures, you know, if you're talking about first round, like Samford could be a nightmare right. for them, a team that Bucky plays ball. Really fast. Buckyball. As you know, a Birmingham guy, I just wrote a big story about him at The Athletic. And that would be a fascinating early matchup. And I think it would be a nightmare. You wouldn't want that if you're okay. Kentucky, because they're going to press you the whole game. And when we've seen them, that's one of the things that sort of led to these collapses at the end of games, when you've got a bunch of freshmen on the floor together, is, okay, if somebody puts a bunch of pressure on those guards, do they make mistakes, young guards? And we've seen it happen some.
Yeah, and I realize it's easy to look at what's happening, and I think it's impressive because there was so much chatter out there. It was impossible, and it vaporized. I mean, there was a column, I believe, in pretty big national publication pretty much saying it was over for Cal.
Well, we got pretty close to that point, I think, yeah. You know, and look, if they flame out, if they lose tomorrow,
yeah, it always comes back.
And they
yeah.
lose in the first or second game of the NCAA tournament, it comes right back. I mean, this is a very critical. This has been a critical season. I think Cal has won back quite a few people because this is such a fun team. They're a likable group of guys, personality-wise. They seem to love playing together. Pretty unselfish. I mean, this is a 10-deep team, right? And,
yeah.
and they're all sharing time. You have the two arguably best players on the team coming off the bench. Two guys that are going to be top 10 picks in Dillingham.
That's amazing.
And so people like them. People love to watch their style. And they don't want this season to end. And so that even, I think, adds another level of pressure. That, like, if the idea that if you waste this group, then what is there, right?
Yeah, it feels like we've had those conversations, though.
Yeah, but I think when they pile up, when you have them every year.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hard part about, and I realize fans are going, well, what's wrong with this season? But we're talking Kentucky here. I mean, there's
not a trophy yet.
No.
There's not an SEC.
There's a reason why they are Kentucky.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think the expectation is what it is, and it can be unrealistic. And look, the league has gotten a lot better. Another story I just wrote this week is about how much more committed to basketball, men's basketball, the SEC is. There's been investment and great coaches, and there are great players.
I want to talk about that because you get that here, Kyle, and we had the associate commissioner on for basketball yesterday, and he overwhelmed us with that, which he had every right to, but it's still been, what, 14 years since the league won a national championship?
Well, 2012. Kentucky was the last team to win a title. I think South Carolina in 2018 is the last
team
to make.
And Auburn went 1 year, too.
Or 2019.
Yeah.
Now Auburn the next year.
But championships do matter.
Yeah. Yeah, they matter.
Final four appearances do matter.
For the league, they matter. And then, again, specifically to Kentucky,
yeah.
I mean, they only hang banners. So most places in this league, most places in most leagues hang banners for Sweet 16s and
for anything.
Dates. Yeah, conference championships. They only hang them for Final Fours and national championships. And that's one of the things John Calipari said the day he walked in the door. That's what he liked about the place, about being the gold standard.
And I think if you go
back there.
And, you know, his beginning, it was so overwhelming those first couple of years.
Yeah. He's a victim of his own success in some ways.
I mean, it was
as good a run as you could have.
Yeah.
Minus he probably needed another title and people would be off his back a little more. But
yeah, I mean, I always wonder, though, that and it's just part of history now. And correctly or not, it really doesn't matter that they had a perfect season.
No.
All that matters is they didn't win.
Correct. I mean, that's a perfect example. Many people feel like 2015 broke them in some way.
Yeah.
Like, I think it broke the fan base in some way. Their unflappable
belief. I was watching from a distance. But, I mean, that was one of the few. Again, I realize you're in Kentucky, and even though you've worked for the local, you know, now you're in a national publication. But, I mean, that was on everybody's.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, they had a chance to do something never been done, and they got very close to it. 38-0.
Yeah.
And they had a team that was ridiculous. We talk about Dillingham and Shepard coming off the bench. They had Tyler Ulis, who the next year would be SEC Player of the Year, and Devin Booker, who's a max contract superstar in the NBA, coming off the bench on that team. That was a dominant team, and to not finish it, I do think the whole trajectory of everything, the program at Kentucky, John Calipari's career perhaps, is different if he wins that title.
Yeah.
Because then you've won two. You've been to three championship games in 4 years, won two titles, captain undefeated, the only 40-0 season ever. He maybe goes to the NBA from there, and his legacy is unassailable at that point. But I think because of all that and because of the last few years, I do think there's a thing that is eating at Cal right now about wanting to be able to stand on top of a podium and say, I told you so, when it's over. And so I think he's,
hey, exit
whether
question
healthy
here
or not.
What, he's, and this is tough, but you laid it out. What is success for this season?
They must make the second week of the NCAA tournament. I mean, I think that's like the minimum bar, and that's a pretty low bar for Kentucky.
That's an incredibly low bar.
That is to just say the season wasn't a failure.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think you've got to get to a Final Four.
Yeah, at some point.
I think you got to get to a Final Four with the most – there's a very strong argument this is the most talented team in America.
Yeah.
It's certainly the most offensively gifted team in America. I really don't think there's a debate on that.
Yeah.
And so, okay, you've got that. You're going to get a pretty good seed in the NCAA tournament. Your path isn't going to be crazy. Go get to a Final Four. I mean, that's the expectation.
Listen, and by the way, you've covered the program for a long time. What you just said, anybody who understands Kentucky, nobody's surprised. That's what it's all about. Thanks so much. I have a feeling we'll be checking back on this story. So good to see you, Kyle.
You too.
Kyle Tucker. We're taking a short break. We're live in Nashville.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back. As we continue here live in Nashville, where games are going on, so it's a little quiet. It's either that or the fact that Cousin Shane ran everyone off. I mean, there were 15,000 people behind us 45 minutes ago, and now there's like one lady lost. She thinks she heard Daniel Bramlett was doing autographs, and she's online.
I really draw a crowd. You know what, Paul?
Michael Bratton is that voice. That face, if you're watching on that SEC podcast, simulcasting this. What's on that SEC podcast right now?
Ooh, tons of interviews, previews of spring football.
Okay. So you used this week, because I remember you invited me over last year.
Right.
I mean, really put on the Ritz. I'm like, hey, we were at the RCA studios, and I found out that you just borrowed that for the day to try to impress me.
Right, and you'd be amazed, Paul, how many people I reached out to do that, and then they ultimately told me no, but then when they found out that you did it, then they would reach out later and say, oh, I apologize, I didn't come through.
I really had fun doing that last year, which brings me to, like, why are we doing it again? I mean, can't you just rerun that one?
I've got new questions for you, Paul. We got new teams in the league. We got new coaches we got to fire.
Okay. Did you get this approved? Because I don't remember saying yes to your interview request.
Maybe the last time I get you. I never know.
I might be a little late tomorrow. I'm doing the Billy Napier podcast.
Well, he still has one, right?
Oh, he's in good shape. So let's talk. We talked to Cousin Shane, and I noticed our audience went down in half. So let's try to bring it back. This time of the year, I mean, basketball is huge.
Right.
Something tells me you're not spending much time on basketball on your podcast.
Yeah, there's a game literally behind us. I don't know who's on the court right now.
I'm not sure I know either.
I mean, football, we all know. It's the sport that drives the SEC.
I see Kentucky. I know they're not playing. I see Carolina uniforms. I assume they're playing at some point.
Right.
Arkansas is playing.
Basketball for me.
Arkansas is playing South Carolina.
Basketball starts next week for me, Paul.
That would not be much of a football game, by the way.
Speaking of getting fired, we may have two right there.
By the way, we're halftime at the game, and the crowds are coming back.
Uh-oh. Is that good or bad?
I don't know. So, Michael, couple of things you said during the season I want to review. You said Nick Saban had a decaying dynasty.
Yeah, and I feel like I was vindicated. Even though they won the SEC, I think they got extremely lucky, Paul, with break after break, the Iron Bowl, A&M, Tennessee. They knocked out the Heisman Trophy winner. Had that not happened, I don't think they win that game.
I mean, it was a fluke. I never want to get in the way of an opinionist, but I'm curious. Other than Larry from Shelby calling you, mm-hmm. What was the reaction like when you said it? Because that was a strong comment for the iconic Nick Saban to have you. Have you heard from his daughter by any chance?
Too many times, Paul. Too many times. But I think most people, you know, they ridiculed me for it at the time.
They did.
But for the most part, they've come around to saying, yeah, you were right. It was a decaying dynasty, and I think it's proven, and it's just going to continue that way under Kalen DeBoard. Great man, but I don't think he's got what it takes to cut it.
But you told, didn't you tell us a few weeks ago you thought he could win a national championship or would?
I do, yeah. And then I got to see what about a month in the offseason with Kalen DeBoard looks like.
You're not as high.
Not anymore, Paul.
Okay. I was worried about you that day when you said...
They've expanded the playoff, obviously, to 12 teams.
Yeah.
I don't think Alabama even makes the 12-team playoff. It would be an upset in my mind if they did. I think Ole Miss is there. Obviously, Georgia. There's two spots. Possibly even Missouri gets a spot. And I think Tennessee, realistically, if Nico lives up to the hype, they're a playoff team as well. So we're running out of spots here, Paul.
You left out Texas and LSU.
I don't think... Especially Texas. I don't think they have what it takes week in and week out. They beat Alabama. They beat the decaying dynasty. We'll give them credit for that. But they couldn't even beat Oklahoma last year, Paul.
I agree.
And they couldn't beat Kalen DeBoer.
Yeah. They almost did.
Right. So
on Alabama, and we'll revisit this, but this is what is there about the first 2 months of DeBoer that turns you off? Because, I mean, you were moderately high early on.
Right. Well, mass exodus of players, obviously.
But he's gotten some big transfers from Washington.
Right. He got a lineman from Washington. That's a credit to him, Paul, but it doesn't seem like...
Can we get Cousin Shane back up here? I think...
His staff, it seems like... I mean, he's losing coaches, Paul, to Tennessee.
He has lost some big coaches.
He's lost some big-time coaches. And, again... It all sounds good, Paul. He's undefeated. He's not lost a game yet. But when they lose to Georgia...
Let me play Bama fan for a second.
Okay.
Because I spent a little bit of time in Alabama. He's coaching at Alabama, brat.
Mm-hmm.
He's won everywhere he's ever been, brat.
Mm-hmm.
He went to the national championship game last year, brat. And he's got... Jalen Milroe, brat.
Oh, wow. Jalen Milroe, the sixth best quarterback in the SEC. Well, that's not going to carry him to much.
Now, Jalen Milroe finished sixth in the Heisman. Did he not, Cousin Shane?
He did.
You're being dismissive of a guy who almost made it to New York.
Had he not completed the Gravedigger pass, I don't think he would have got a single vote for it. So, I mean, credit him for making that pass, but what were they doing nearly losing to an awful Auburn team?
What difference does it make? They won the game.
Right. But they're not going to get that those lucky breaks this year, Paul. They're really not.
Okay.
So I think they're probably 8-4 type.
No. Brad, there's no way you can say Alabama's 8-4. Okay, here we go.
Right. Georgia, loss. At Tennessee, loss. Missouri, loss. And then LSU, Oklahoma, Auburn, they'll lose one of those as well. There's your 8-4.
And you're saying the loss is either LSU or Oklahoma? Or Auburn?
Right. Probably LSU or Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's the fourth loss.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia, Tennessee, Missouri. I see what you're saying there. I see what you're smoking there.
And I'm very intrigued with Oklahoma, Paul. I think that's the team. Everyone's getting excited about Texas, rightfully so. But I think Oklahoma could be a real impact right away. Their schedule lines up well, but they're a mystery to me. I really, really like Jackson Arnold, their quarterback.
Okay.
I've heard Jeff Levy say he's the best quarterback prospect he's ever worked with. So I think Oklahoma's a team to really keep your eye on as well.
Okay, we'll move on from Alabama. Cousin Shane was here earlier. I know you were busy. He was tough on Napier.
Mm.
I'm hoping that you've changed your tune on Napier.
I'm coming around, Paul. I think this is the year for the Florida Gators. They got a lot of experience back, a lot of continuity. They've added another defensive assistant to help their current defensive coordinator, Paul. I realize the schedule is brutal. That's what everybody wants to talk about. Graham Mertz overexceeded.
Right.
I think it all comes together, Paul. This is the best season that Billy Napier has ever had in the SEC. They go 6-6, and he's fired. But that would be an improvement. 6-6 is better than 5-7.
I don't want to play dumb here, although occasionally I do it. So he has not had a winning record yet?
Well, he went 6-7 his debut, and they got embarrassed.
Right.
They kick a field goal as time expired to lose 30-3, I believe, to keep that scoring streak alive. That's what matters at Florida these days, scoring streaks, not winning games, not competing for championships. Your rivals are dominating you, but they've got the scoring streak, Paul.
Talking to the brat, I mean, that's really sad.
Right.
Because he's a good person.
Great man.
Can we take that out of the talk show podcast lexicon?
I don't think we can, Paul.
Where did that start? I mean, I know I've been saying it since before you were in the business. Well, you know, I so-and-so has got a tough record, but he's a good person.
They're all good men, Paul, until they start losing on the field. Then all of a sudden, that doesn't really matter anymore. You know what?
So let's talk about that SEC podcast, because I know you're doing a lot of work here. Who have you already booked into there, and what can fans of Cousin Shane and Brad expect?
I mean, I don't want to give away the guest list, but
okay.
we've got some big names coming through. I guess we can reveal you're going to be on there.
I'm not going to be.
Okay. I lost you during this interview here, but
I can't in good conscience be with someone who's predicting Alabama to have an 8-4 record.
But yeah, we try to turn this into like a little mini media days event with all the people coming through. So we try to get as many people in there as we possibly can. Just have a nice conversation, relax, and
yeah. Last year was really fun doing it, and I'm not as excited about this year, having been through last year. Will Cousin Shane be there?
He will.
You'll be there?
As long as he doesn't have too many beers tonight and misses it.
Okay. Michael Bratton. I mean, I see a lot of activity. It always makes me nervous when Danny, our producer, starts walking down toward the beer cart. The Brat, we'll see you tomorrow at the podcast. We'll tell you when. Will that be on sometime soon? Or?
It'll be after the tournament.
After the tournament.
Gotcha. Appreciate you, Paul.
Got time for a call from Larry?
Bring him on.
We'll take a short break. Thank you, Mike.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition.
Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Well, we're back in Nashville, and I can't tell you how excited I am about our next guest. Mark Miller, the lead singer and had written most of Sawyer Brown's biggest hits, also played college basketball. And what a thrill to say hello to you and welcome you to our show.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. No, I actually was flipping around Sirius the other day, and I heard Some Girls Do. I mean, I've never not, like, stopped on that song. before we get to you, I mean, and I know you're still touring, but you played college basketball.
Yeah.
At UCF, did you tell me?
Yep.
How good were you?
Well, I'm a singer.
You go. I think
I was a good basketball.
You're
player.
A good basketball.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, it's a common story today because, you know, I mean, the theme song of the show was written and produced by Taylor Hicks, who won American Idol, but Carrie Underwood. But I mean, you guys did it before it was Vogue.
Yeah.
I mean, you were on what? Star Search?
Star Search. Yeah. Yeah. 1984, we won Star Search. So,
and that was the beginning?
That was the beginning, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, how would you compare? I mean, I remember Star Search. There's so many of those shows now. That was the only one, wasn't it?
It was the original. I tell my kids that we were the original American Idols. So
that is amazing.
Yeah.
And it wasn't long. I mean, it didn't take long after that, did it? I mean, you guys.
No, we exploded. I mean, that show just jump-started the whole deal. I mean, there were only three networks at that time, so the viewing audience was huge. So it really put us in, you know, we became a household name in that, you know, we were on the show for like 6 months. We kept winning every week. So by the end of that, we had secured a record deal and instantly went from playing the clubs to, you know, big shows. And then Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton took us out on the Islands in the Stream tour.
Oh, my goodness.
So we went from Star Search to Kenny Rogers, opening for him.
And that was a big tour.
Huge. The biggest in the world. And he was the greatest guy ever. He was awesome. So
and I mean, these questions now seem so cliche, Mark. But I mean you're rock stars. it had to. I mean, there's nothing quite. I mean, you can be great basketball player, great golfer, but everybody wanted to be a rock star back in the day.
Well, thank you for that. You know. You're a rock star to everybody but your kids. I got to point that out.
No, so. But and so take me through as a writer originally. I love the creative part of it. So you had so many big hits. I mean, memorable number one songs. When you're writing a song, I mean, today it's so. I mean, down the street. I mean, the process is so different.
Yeah.
What was it like for you?
Well. First of all, Nashville, you know, I came here right out of college, and I came here, and Nashville has always been a song town, and there's always been the most incredible writers, you know, so it's real competitive. I mean, the first night I got in town, I went to the Exit Inn and heard Dean Dillon get up and sing a song he had just written called Unwound, George Strait's first record.
Sure.
I looked at Hobie, who is our keyboard player. He and I have known each other since the eighth grade. I looked at Hobie and said, we need to go back home because this is the deal. And you're kind of thinking, I don't have that. But you stay here and you just write. You know, Charlie Pride signed me as a songwriter. Okay. And so I really learned to write songs and craft a great song. You have to have a certain amount of creativity, but you also had to know how to craft a song.
So it's not just something you wake up in the middle of the night. I mean, is it the words first, or is it the music first?
Well, you start thinking like a writer.
Okay.
So you'll pick up on everything, conversation. Somebody will say something. You'll see something on a billboard. So you start thinking of, oh, that would make a great song.
Right.
That would make a great story. Or you know, something that happened in your life. You know, so it can be from anything, but you have to start thinking like a writer.
I mean, you listen to music, and I don't know, it's the first line has to be critical, is it
yeah.
not?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, when you get that out, trying to guess a hit is absurd.
Yeah.
But, I mean, with some of your bigger hits, were they surprises, or did you, because, I mean, creative people don't always hear the hits like artists do.
You know what? I haven't always been a good judge of, you know, the only song I knew that I really was betting on heavy, and I had written a ton of hit songs that I didn't have a clue they were going to be hits. Some Girls Do.
I mean,
was the Mac Daddy. I knew when I wrote that.
Take me through that, because it's such a cool song.
Okay, so the idea was, everybody wants to write an anthem.
Right.
Everybody. So you want that song that everybody can relate to and everybody can sing. So my idea was, I'm going to write a song for ugly guys. I'm going to write an anthem for ugly guys. And so, you know, so it gets down to, I ain't first class, I ain't white class, I'm wild and a little crazy too. Some girls don't like boys like me. And I got stuck. Some girls don't like, and then I went, and then I was being funny and went, ah, but some girls do. And that was,
wow.
That was how that came about. Yeah, it was just that simple.
Were the words first on that one?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that kind of like, I mean, it's a,
yeah, yeah.
That
yeah.
is such a cool song.
And you're absolutely right. You have to, that first line of the song, you know, the first line in a song has to jump out and set you up to people, just like a book or anything else, that you want to hear the rest of the story.
When you have hits, and then, I mean, I've read too much about the record industry. I haven't lived it like you. I mean, the pressure has to start becoming intense.
It is. It is. I mean, my son, who we talked earlier, is a doctor. He is a monster of a guitar player. And I was so afraid that this is what he was going to do, because I know the grind. Every day, I mean, it's pressure. Every day, and it's not like when you turn in a hit to the record company and you have a hit, that they don't even say thank you. They say, what else you got? they want another one, and they want it out fast.
They want it before you leave.
Yeah.
So today, the name Sawyer Brown.
It's the name of a road here in Nashville.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Sawyer Brown Road. We took the name. Everybody now thinks the road was named after us.
you've never, for a writer, I'm going to use some pretty poor English here. You've never not toured.
Really? Never not toured. Yes, that's correct. Yeah. COVID was the only the only time, you know, we had about 9 months or 10 months off there, but we're coming up on our 6,000th show. We have always known that's where, you know, I guess we shine our shows.
I would love to do this when we can. I don't know where you're touring, but maybe we can figure out a way to get you where we are. Probably wouldn't be that impossible, because I really would like to put some music underneath and let you, because unfortunately we're in the middle of a basketball arena. But come back.
I will.
And I want to do this, and really let people understand the genius of what you guys
I'll come to you. I'll come to your place.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we only did this one time many, many years ago. Randy Owen came in.
Oh, yeah.
He brought his guitar, and it was supposed to be a 30-minute. He stayed 4 hours, and he ended the segment singing My Home's in Alabama. And I've had people that have told me, Mark, that they literally they got in a car in Mobile, Alabama, and drove to Birmingham and stayed in their driveway. And I want to do that again. Mark Miller, Sawyer Brown, lead singer, and he wrote the hits.
Thank you, sir.
And still at it, and you're still a young man.
I try to be.
It's so great to see you.
Thank you, sir.
What a pleasure. We will do this again.
Okay.
We'll take a short break. We are live in Nashville.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, we're back. Alyssa Lang's here, and it was 2 weeks ago when we talked to Alyssa, and I don't want to sound like one of these guys, we're following up on our story. That's kind of how they do it on local news.
On the plans that we made.
So when you were here last, it was revealed that you were looking for a late May
looking
wedding.
Looking for someone to pay for
and,
our end
And we came up with the idea to have you get married at Destin.
Mm-hmm.
Any update?
Well, Chuck Dunlap seemed to be really into it, right? Like, Chuck tagged us on Instagram and on Twitter.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of taking that as a nod of approval from the league.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Chuck here this week, but...
We have the commissioner on tomorrow. Would it be...
Can you ask him?
Any chance, would you mind?
Would
you just bring it up? I mean, I figured he's
totally
the guy that
mind.
Could stamp the...
Could you imagine, like, of all the things on Commissioner Sankey's resume, that would be one that he's probably like, you know what, I'm up for that challenge. Add it to the
list. I don't want to make too big a deal out of it, although I brought it up twice, but I do want to make a big deal about it.
I just think it's funny.
Is it okay with your other?
Yeah, you know, I got a lot of interesting feedback from some of your listeners when we brought it up the first time.
Okay.
Most of it was good. Some of it was, like, very upset that we'd been engaged for over a year and a half, and we still hadn't got married,
yeah.
And I wanted to be like, well, here's my Venmo if you'd like to send some money for the cause.
Yeah, I didn't.
Someone was really upset.
I felt awkward in asking anything more than I've already asked. maybe if we got both of you on, it would be easier.
You know, I was just pitching to Brams, shamelessly. He works for Pro Football Focus and is a draft analyst, so
okay.
This time of year is crazy for him. I was telling Brams, when it comes time for draft season and you need somebody to break players down, I'll send him on down to Ballantyne.
Yeah.
he can do a guest spot.
Yeah,
with
I mean, obviously, you tell Brams. I don't see him right now. But
yeah, I don't know. Where did Brams go?
So, I mean, I know your next couple weeks are very busy, and his, but at some point
we can make it happen.
We should be able to make it happen.
Definitely.
And
yeah.
we'll just do the View interview and kind of go where I've never gone before.
He'd be totally up for that. And honestly, you might need to get your officiating license at this point because you're leading such a charge that it might need to be you who, you know, do you.
We
take
had
the
somebody years ago in Birmingham get engaged on our show.
Really?
Yeah, a friend of mine from Mobile.
Wow.
Yeah, he proposed.
Like in the background, or
yeah, I mean,
was he?
It was all, we were only on radio.
Oh, okay.
And he proposed to his then fiance, about to be fiance. They did get married.
Did you know it was going to happen?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we didn't do the wedding for some reason, and I'm glad. because it was a disaster.
Oh, boy. Well, you know what? As long as it started fun, right?
But yeah, is it hard to, you said you do it. Is it hard to get a license?
It's not hard at all.
Okay.
I went to the universallifechurch.com,
okay,
and it took me about 10 minutes to get the license. And the best part is they send you a little packet, and so I have a badge that you can clip onto your shirt. It says ordained minister.
Well, I mean, I wore
the heck out of that.
I'm going to do that, and then
you should.
Don't tell your folks, but when we get you and Mr. on
Lang.
Mr. Lang.
Everyone calls him Mr. Lang.
When we get you and Mr. Lang on, I may just go ahead and do it.
I mean, I feel like that it would be poetic, honestly,
yeah,
for our lives. I mean, our lives revolve around this, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is all we do. This is who we are. So being married
and I'll
by
spring
Paul
for. I don't know, maybe a cheap bottle of champagne?
I think we could have a really good time. Really good
okay.
time. I want to turn it on. You're talking about someone getting proposing to someone on your show. I was standing here as people were walking by. You're like the president of the SEC. I've known this for a long time. Don't get me wrong. This is not new information to me. But the amount of people were walking by, like, that's Paul Feinbaum.
Well, they're like, well, I tell you why they're doing that.
Paul.
They're trying to figure out why I'm sitting here with a card table, like, handing out Amway material.
I need to know how you don't have a table full of food back here, because just standing up here around the concessions, smelling the popcorn and the hot dog, I'm so glad I didn't bring my wallet.
I don't think I'll be able to help you because you like to eat.
The smells are really overwhelming.
Yeah, I mean, after a while, it kind of reminds me of back in high school. You walk in the gym and there's the popcorn.
Yeah, like there's nothing like crappy, cheap, ballpark popcorn, movie theater popcorn. For some reason, for me, that scratches an itch that nothing
else. Alyssa Lang, they're winding me down here, but next time we see her, she'll be married.
Yeah, by him.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.